This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration prepares professionals to address today's most pressing challenges and offers flexible options with part-time and evening classes to support busy adults balancing complex schedules. Inspire change, shape the future at crownschool.uchicago.edu/social work. WBEZ's nonprofit spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
How do we stop traffic collisions and the deaths they so often cause? I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. I don't know about you, but it seems like every day living in Chicago, I see a car crash or the aftermath of one. On Lakeshore Drive, in my neighborhood, pretty much everywhere. Well, it turns out that car crashes and deaths have spiked in the city in recent years. So what can we do to stop them or at least slow them down? We checked in with Laura Biggs, the city engineer in Evanston. The suburb recently marked 5 years with no traffic deaths, thanks to various changes that we'll hear about in a moment. We also heard from advocate Dixon Galvez-Searle with Southwest Collective. That group's working to make streets safer on the southwest side, especially along Pulaski Avenue. I started by asking both of them what they've observed on the streets. Here's Laura.
Generally, since the pandemic, it seemed as if people just felt they had license to go faster. There were fewer cars on the road. And so over time, it actually did seem like there was an increase in speed. And that is one of the number one reasons why there are accidents. And it also really increases the severity of the accidents that occur.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was actually on Lakeshore Drive traveling south the day that fatal collision happened last month, where one person died and the driver, I think, is still in critical condition. But that was where the car hit the tree and split in half. And it was terrifying. I was caught in the backlog of traffic, but just to know what had happened just moments before I got to that exact spot was it was insane. Dixon?
Yeah, we've definitely seen an increase in crashes since the start of the pandemic. And a lot of the roads on the southwest side are very wide, practically highways. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about Pulaski specifically with this campaign. But streets like Archer Avenue, Cicero, Central, et cetera, are exceptionally wide streets with lots of vehicles, lots of truck traffic. There were a fair number of crashes before. And so now that we're seeing these trends with more crashes across the city and across the country, it's especially acute on the southwest side.
And when we think about the reasons why there have been, you know, more fatal car crashes, you mentioned, Laura, speeding as, you know, one of the biggest reasons. Anything else come to mind?
I think we're seeing more people out as walkers, pedestrians, bicyclists, and they don't necessarily have a space, a bike lane on every street. And it takes a while to get the infrastructure upgraded. It's totally understandable. But the more that happens, the more you have cars interacting with bicyclists and pedestrians, accidents do tend to occur, particularly when coupled with that increased speed.
Yeah. You mentioned at one point with one of our producers, Dixon, smartphones and increased car sizes. Say more on that.
Yeah. So when we started looking at Pulaski last year after the deaths of two of our neighbors, we looked at some of the nationwide trends as well. And we saw that for years, starting in the early 90s, that pedestrian deaths on the streets were going down. And then in the mid to late 2000s, they started going right back up. And now they're higher than they ever were. And, you know, I don't know this scientifically, but I know that the iPhone came out in 2006, 2007. And so we have a lot more distracted driving. And all you have to do is look at the cars that are out on the streets today. And it used to be, I remember when Hummers first started being driven on the streets.
Yes.
They looked so out of place, sort of comically so.
Yeah.
And now it's entirely common to see, you know, pickup trucks and larger SUVs that are that size and bigger. It used to be pretty rare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. And talk about distracted driving. I see that a lot, too. I'll see cars in front of me definitely swerving. And I'm like, OK, let me get around. My immediate instinct is to just get around and keep going. Right. Get past them. What's it like, Laura, in and around Evanston commuting? Describe for us what we're seeing as far as if you are there as a pedestrian trying to cross the street. What were you seeing?
I think what we're seeing is what comes back to the city from our residents, that they're demanding more safety features, more crosswalks, more protected areas, so that they feel like they can be an active partner in the road, that what they're doing is safe. And we have, over time, developed a neighborhood traffic program, our traffic calming program, that allows residents to reach out to us to request things like speed humps, like crosswalks, four-way stop signs, things that will try to slow down that traffic so that they have, they can create that walkable space for themselves. And over time, that's really been effective. We've also, on our arterial streets, we've done a number of projects where we really try to upgrade sidewalks, build in bike lanes or spaces for bicycles so that we can sort of designate an area for everybody to be where they're not in conflict. And so that's helped quite a bit in terms of reducing accidents.
So you're working on essentially safety for cyclists and pedestrian, which I think goes hand in hand, right, Laura? And then in turn, it makes the streets safer for drivers as well.
Yes. We had a project that we did several years ago. It was actually pre-pandemic. And we specifically put in protected bike lanes in a way that where the bike lanes had been striped next to the traffic, between the parked cars and the traffic, we moved where the parked cars were. Now the bike lanes were next to the curb. And a lot of times the drivers didn't feel as safe now. They couldn't go as fast because the parked cars were right there. The lanes felt narrower. Mm-hmm. It really forced them to slow down. And we saw, in just a year, we saw a 70% decrease in accidents involving bicyclists. But we also saw a 30% decrease in accidents involving cars. Hmm. And the types of accidents were more like side swipes, hitting parked cars. It reduced head-on collisions. It reduced turning accidents substantially.
Hmm. Going down all around. Yeah.
When you slow down cars, you just get a safer situation for vehicles, not just pedestrians.
Yeah, and Dodge and Ridge Avenue, busy streets in Evanston. And in 2018, the city reduced the speed limit from 30 to 25 miles per hour on Ridge.
Yes.
You were part of the steps to make that happen?
Yeah, we saw a situation where Ridge had long time been on the list of worst intersections. Many of the intersections were hitting the top 10 for the city. Ridge is a four-way street, two lanes in each direction, no turn lanes. The lanes are very narrow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a thoroughfare for the region as well. So we see a lot of people from the North Shore using it to get to the city of Chicago and vice versa. And accidents were going up. They were going up substantially. So we took a look at it. The police did some seriously increased enforcement.
Right.
And one thing we found was people who were trying to turn left, there just wasn't adequate visibility and pedestrians dashing across the street where there were no crosswalks, no traffic signals. Those things were just creating unsafe conditions. So we started prohibiting left turns in a number of high accident locations. We changed the signals so that only one direction could go at a time. They could, they had the full authority to turn left. And then the other direction could go either straight or turn left, but really to try, again, to reduce those conflicts.
Right. Really and control the flow of traffic. Yeah.
It made a substantial difference. Along the length that we were looking at, we saw a 40 to 80% decrease in accidents.
Wow.
That was coupled with a big police enforcement campaign. The police are the partners. Engineers can and contractors can build,
right.
But police
I think that's
are
key.
The ones who really make it happen. and enforce the rules when things are getting out of control. But they also, they would do a campaign, and in one day they might write over 200 tickets, the majority of which were people texting.
Yeah, Dixon is nodding his head. I want to go back to the Pulaski Slow the F Down campaign. Powerful title, and it's meant to be, because as we said, it started back in 2024. This is after you lost two residents in your neighborhood, killed in crashes. What should we know about them?
Well, so last February, there was a woman named Jie Kwan Shu who was killed going to the grocery store. She was coming back home after doing her grocery shopping and lived right across the street. She was crossing the street at, late in the afternoon at rush hour.
Mm-hmm.
And then just a few months later on Easter night, there was another neighbor who was killed just a little bit south of there. In West Lawn, Charlie Mills, and he was, going back to his house, crossing Pulaski. That was later at night, beloved teacher at CPS. These are real people.
Yeah.
And you see the numbers and you see, X number of people are killed in a given year, or X number of people are injured in a given year.
It makes a difference when you can put a name and a face.
Absolutely.
To these numbers and just regular activities. She was going grocery shopping, you said, right?
Something everybody should be able to do in
right.
their neighborhood. And we're seeing, I've talked to family members for, people who've been killed in the area in these crashes. There was just another crash 2 weeks ago, two weekends ago. Maria Ochoa, who was killed on Archer Avenue, not too far from Pulaski, just west of Cicero. So I think a lot of people who live in the community were outraged at this, were saddened at this, really felt like something needed to be done.
Yeah. What do they say needs to be done? Because you've surveyed some neighbors and asked.
Yes. So what we wanted to do is we wanted to collect feedback on what is the problem behavior that you're seeing from drivers. And not surprisingly, speeding was number one by a long shot.
Yeah.
And what would you like to see? What would you like to be able to do in the neighborhood? What are problem intersections? And so people told us all of that. Some 500 or so people responded. We did a series of in-person walks as well.
Mm-hmm.
And something that really came up was Pulaski is incredibly wide. And there have been some temporary infrastructure that's gone in place over the winter, some plastic bollards. But before that, there was nothing in the middle of the road, in the median, all the way from the I-55 bridge at 40th Street to the Belt Railway Bridge at 71st Street. So 30-some-odd blocks. And so if somebody is keen to do overnight drag racing, for example, if they want to drive 100 miles per hour down the street, Pulaski is practically a magnet for that type of behavior.
Okay.
Because there's nothing in the middle of the street to slow them down. And if you're there at, 1 or 2 in the morning, then it's very inviting for that type of behavior. So putting concrete medians in the middle, for example, would preclude that even if somebody wanted to. And in the middle of the day, people drive dangerously through the median as well. They might be stuck in traffic. There's a lot of congestion. They're going to bolt through the median or bolt through an unused parking lane
right.
to try to get ahead of that traffic, take a turn, and that can be dangerous as well.
Yeah, a lot of stories very similar happening across the city, as I mentioned, Dixon. Two of our producers here on Reset, they live off of Western Avenue on two different sides of the city. One lives near the intersection of Oakley Boulevard and Chicago Avenue in Ukrainian Village. That is where 66-year-old Halina Hudzan was hit by a car and she died at the hospital. And the other producer on the team here lives near Western and Archer, where Eric Hernandez was killed. Now, since then, part of Western Boulevard was named in his honor, and there are now temporary blockades put in place, blocking cars from going across Western. Laura, is the solution here just about infrastructure? Do we have to take it further? Are there other ways that we can curb this trend?
Infrastructure is one component, but key to it is also just the support from the community to do it. So I mentioned previously that we do we do work with the police to identify areas of concern, but we also work with the community. And they bring to us the issues, the locations where they're seeing the problems. Often we ask them if they're requesting a small improvement like speed humps on their street, we ask them to go talk to their neighbors, sign petitions to make sure that people really do support it. But what we find is by the time all those conversations occur, you really do have a lot of support. People are more aware of the problems, and then they're more supportive of anything to fix the
challenges. Is anyone pushing back? Any residents or drivers or business owners even?
There's always pushback. There's always at least one person who doesn't necessarily want change because change is really difficult. And for our small things, we ask the community to organize themselves through petitions or we do postcard surveys. For bigger things where we're doing major work on arterial streets, we do have a lot of community meetings. We bring people to the table and give them options to choose
What do they
from.
Say specifically, the ones who don't want change? I'm curious.
A lot of times there's concerns about parking loss. Many of the things, whether it's putting in bike lanes, but even just widening sidewalks, improving crosswalks, we're removing parking in order to increase visibility. Other times there are concerns about the traffic flow, that congested roads, it's just going to slow traffic down further if you lower the speed limit, if you put in all these restrictions. We try to pair those with things like signal timing to make sure that the traffic flows more efficiently, that if you're driving just below the speed limit, you can hit every green light and we can keep that traffic moving. Mm. And that's been pretty successful in a lot of our larger infrastructure projects.
Yeah. You know, the conversation, whenever we talk about this, it gets oversimplified sometimes where it's this drivers versus cyclists narrative, while the dangers that can occur when it comes to pedestrians, that sometimes gets overlooked, I find. Pedestrian deaths, though, they're actually higher than that of cyclists. So do you think, Dixon, maybe we need to sort of change the language that we use here and make sure that this is a much more inclusive conversation?
Well, when we're talking to our neighbors on the Southwest side, their inability to walk in the neighborhood without feeling, and feeling unsafe walking in the neighborhood is sort of front of mind, right? There are people who enjoy biking and would like to bike. I'm a cyclist myself. Yeah. The Southwest Collective does a bunch of community bike rides.
So you stay safe during those rides, right?
Because we're in a group and we're sticking to the side streets and all of that. But when we're talking to neighbors, one thing they want to do and they wish they could do is walk within the neighborhood. If you're talking about dropping your kids off at school, a trip that parents take 10 times a week, right?
Yeah.
To and from. If you're talking about going to the grocery store or visiting friends or going to work, people would like to be able to walk. But the way that Pulaski has been built and the way that the neighborhood is designed a lot, it makes it dangerous to walk, quite frankly.
So some of the changes that you talked about implementing with Pulaski Slow the F Down, that campaign, has the alderman been receptive?
So the stretch that we're talking about has a whole bunch of layers of government.
Okay.
There are three aldermen, two state representatives, two state senators, a county commissioner, a federal representative in Congress. And to their credit, I think all of them have been involved and engaged on this. Alderman Tavares and Alderman Quinn sent representatives to our in-person walks last year.
Okay.
So they could get a lay of the land and talk to neighbors and kind of experience what it's like to be walking along Pulaski. Alderwoman Gutierrez in the 14th Ward, which is the north stretch of this, has held a few public community meetings.
Yeah. And so the conversation's continuing,
They've been supportive of efforts to reduce the number of crashes. And I think that's what's going to be required because there are a lot of hands in this, right?
Yeah.
Pulaski is technically a state route. So any changes that the Chicago Department of Transportation would propose, and they've been very attuned to this and supportive of making Pulaski safer, IDOT needs to sign off on that.
Yeah.
So we encourage them to do that as well.
Definitely a conversation that needs to keep happening. Thank you both so much for sharing your perspectives and what's working so far in your neighborhoods. That was Dixon Galvez-Searle, who's a transit advocacy steward for Southwest Collective, a group of Southwest Side residents fed up with what they say are unsafe conditions on Pulaski, and Laura Biggs, who's a capital planning and engineering bureau chief for the city of Evanston. Great to have you on. This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Linnea Dominic and Micah Yasin. It was edited by Dan Tucker and mixed by Ari Mejia. For more deep dives into issues affecting the Chicago area, be sure to subscribe to the Reset Podcast. And while you're there, leave us a review, would ya? I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for listening.
My name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBEZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely.